Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is another glorious day for us to be here gathering, praying for this nation and the Office of the President. And today I labeled today's episode of Season of Change, as we have now entered into our Gregorian calendar of the spring, the Hebrew biblical calendar, the month of Nisan. And if you ever have a chance, I would suggest going back and listening to Robert Heidler's teaching on the month of Nisan that we've entered into. He always does this at the beginning of the month on Gloria Zion's first fruits service celebration that they do on Sunday mornings, and teaches about the month that we're entering into. And we'll also do it on our main podcast this week a little bit as well. And talking about how we're in the biblical spiritual sense of we're in this season of change, where we're moving out of a place of an old season, the place where, you know, we may have had struggles, things in our past that now is an opportunity for us in this month to repent of, move forward, get healed and delivered, and move forward in the season. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's a major point I want to focus on today. There are a lot of things happening that, you know, we as a church need to recognize where we stand on a lot of these issues. I know we sit here and we pray for the Office of the President, but there's also some things within the church that we need to deal with, and personally as well. And so, you know, it's easy to sit here and point the finger at the president. He should be doing this. He should be doing that. I get that. And that's why we want to, as much as we possibly can, split the difference on that, but also pray and intercede for the wisdom and fear of the Holy Spirit to come in, and the Lord more so that the Lord's decisions can be made, or decisions in this position can be made in alignment with what the Lord would want. And today, the scripture I want to start off with, as I started it last week, of looking at what we can do and pray for in the early evening watch of from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. of as we've ended our natural work day in the biblical Hebrew time of the day. The 24 hours is it's when the new day starts. The sun sets. You're winding down. You're refocusing yourself. That's when the new day starts, from sundown to sundown. And in what I want to focus on today is in Genesis 8, verse 11, where obviously Noah and the flood comes towards the end. And it says here in verse 11 that the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her break was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. It was this season of change. And the prayer focus for this day that Chuck points out is ask the Lord to show you the changing of the season in your life. So as we sit here and we pray for the Office of the President, we also want to pray for our lives and renew ourselves in this month of going to a place of the wilderness where we're protected, we're provided, even during this month of chaos that David was in, the dream that we're focusing on. But this lines up with that of even Noah on the ark during the flood towards the end of the Lord was providing, but also, okay, now it's a season of change. What lies ahead? And that's what we want to ask for wisdom for from the Holy Spirit and from the Lord. So you help us, guide us into the season, into the next season. And so I, with that, I want to go ahead and get into the news a little bit. And there's a lot to catch up on from this weekend. But first, I want to start off from a clip from CNN, which is actually pretty interesting to hear this come out of the mouth of anybody who works at CNN. And they're pointing something out. And I want to start with this, because the things that are happening in this nation are so blatant that they can't be hidden anymore. They're so in your face that you can't deny the realities. And even CNN itself cannot deny the reality. So I want to play this clip. I'm going to play it on double speed. And I'll slow it down at times because it's a 3-minute clip, but I want to get through it pretty fast.
And just said that we just listened is true. It's also largely irrelevant. When inflation is where it's at, when you see gas prices going where it's at, we can talk about a jobs report here. We can talk about the latest PCE numbers of the CPI, and all those former Bloomberg reporters can really get into the weeds, right? But there's one number that they can't really change right now, and that is what the placard says at the local gas station.
Yeah.
And that number is high, and that's a daily jobs report that voters, that Americans, consumers see every day, and there's nothing the White House can do about it.
So this gentleman, I can't remember his name, he lays out the scenario that Americans are looking at. Not what politicians, not what leaders are looking at. What are Americans, you and I, every day, who go out, we're buying random things. But here's the important part. Here's what I want to say. Listen to what this lady has to say.
Other than bring down the price of gasoline.
Which and maybe blame Putin. And this week the tagline was the Putin price hikes or something to that effect.
Look, when I drive past gas stations to say blame Putin more than they say, let's go Brandon, I'll know the White House. I'll know the White House has been successful in messaging it.
That is fascinating in its own right. But like, take a look at this Quinnipiac poll. Americans just don't buy that this is related to the...
Listen to what she says. This is a Quinnipiac poll. You can take it however you want, but this is from a more left-leaning pollster. And this is what left-leaning pollsters are getting from left-leaning individuals.
To the war in Ukraine, and most of it, frankly, is not. 41% say it's Biden's policies, just 24% say the war in Ukraine. 24% also say, the oil and gas companies are raising prices. But the White House is trying to both blame Putin, blame the oil and gas companies, but Americans just don't agree.
Yeah, they're trying to also, as you said.
And that's interesting. She's calling out, understanding that this is what people really think. And so I wanted to start off on that point, because this lays the groundwork for a lot of the scenarios in the news and things that are happening right now is, the Biden White House, Pentagon, everybody's trying to put this persuasion of, I talked about it last week about how, oh, we've isolated Putin. We've done the job because we released this Seoul report, even though this scenario had happened several years ago. This idea that's out there of this persuasion. And what we're seeing now is more of that stuff playing out. But before I get into that, I want to also give a little update on the Ukraine situation. If you saw the videos and pictures of the slain Ukrainian civilians, innocent civilians, men, women, and children, elderly, cripple, anybody who was vulnerable when the Russian troops were in and around Kiev and in and around other regions in Ukraine. And as they were leaving, they were slaughtering. It is a humanitarian crisis. I'm not going to show videos. They're very graphic. They're out there. They're all over the internet. They were played ad nauseum yesterday. But with that being said, it's a real warning for us to pray for our leaders, even more so in this time, because of the heightened emotional state that might be trying to use to maneuver some situations. And President Zelensky, before any of this stuff came out, was asking from over the weekend, he was asking for more weapons to be able to defend his country. And I get why he's asking that, because Ukraine in the past had given up weapons. There's a whole reason why he needs these weapons to defend himself against Russia, and there's prophetic that Ukraine needs to stand up and fight for itself, and it's going to have to fight for itself. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've put themselves in this position because of corruption, because of giving up weapons, because of the decision of whether to join NATO, the EU, all these other associations that Russia does not want, and even some Ukrainians don't want. So we're seeing this out there. And you saw this, then you saw, after this was announced, talked about how we need more weapons, we need NATO to allow Ukraine to join, the UN needs to send investigators in, this organization needs to send investigators in. You can do those things, but the real warning is that, okay, what militarily, what decisions are we going to make from the office of the president here in the United States that will affect us long term? And that's why we really want to pray for our leaders now and in the season ahead. And I want to get to a few things as well on things that are happening abroad that will affect our leaders here and the decisions that they're making. Is also you're seeing how the EU and even some in Congress today and this week, I should say, are discussing and are going to start discussing whether the EU and the United States need to ban Russian oil and gas imports. This is very strategic to supposedly hurt Russia. Ultimately, for the short time being, it will hurt those nations, and it's as you're seeing it hurt us, as Biden has made those claims as well. And so we're laying this out now. Russia, on the other hand, says, "Who cares?" Russia is saying, "Cool, you want to ban our stuff? Then fine. On the stuff you need, we're going to think about. They're going to talk about." At the same time, we're talking about banning oil and natural gas imports from Russia. They're saying, cool, we're going to talk about our wheat and our fertilizer exports to your countries and talking about only giving it to countries who are friendly, that they deem friendly to them. Very interesting. And so we're seeing this dynamic play out in the world of, okay, these sanctions, quote unquote, may work, may or may not work. And there's talks in Congress this week of putting, quote unquote, more sanctions from the EU on Russia. Will that really work? Some countries have 70% imports of wheat from Russia and Ukraine. Now, because of the war, there wasn't able to be planted. And so you're coming up with situations around the world that could lead to a mass starvation, potentially. In some areas as well. Also, the continued talks about how Russia they're giving up, they're leaving. This was from this weekend's. I want to show this because this is very interesting. Oh, Russia's giving up, they're leaving. But in reality, this is what Wall Street Journal reported from this weekend. Is if you can see the headline, Moscow regroups, signaling it's ready for a prolonged war. This article came out Friday, but I get this on the weekends. Moscow understands and they're ready for what Kremlin, Putin is ready for the long term of this effect. And I'll send the link to this article for those who want to read it about how they understand the consequences. Part of this would be to pull back those troops who maybe need to be pulled back for morale reasons, send reinforcements back in, get them equipped, gas, all that stuff, try to learn from their logistical mistakes, because that's really what happened there. And then we're seeing this from India, who I talked about a little bit before, but we're seeing more and more information come out on these deals that are being made from these countries who are friendly to Russia, where India has discussed buying Russian oil at a discount. And it's smart for them to do that. It's interesting because of the contentious nature and relationship that India has with China, who has a good relationship with Russia as well. And a lot of the reason that this deal is being considered from India is because they rely upon Russia to get a lot of their military mechanics, weapons and stuff like that. So this is very important for them to stay in good relationship with Russia because they need a lot of things from Russia. And then talks of continuing that relationship. So as we're seeing, you know, these talks come from the EU, the United States, of we're going to ban Russia, we're going to hurt them. They've positioned themselves to not really care, number one, but then they're going around the world and making economic relationships with people to force them to buy things in rubles. The Russian economy itself is basing its currency back to gold and back to other commodities, which can help stabilize it and push it forward in the days ahead. Whereas we're the fiat money system, we print it, we make it up. And so we're seeing this happen at the same time. One thing to note is that this report from Breitbart talks about how since 2014, Russian economy hasn't been dependent upon imports from other countries. So they have gone through the system of being self-reliant, mainly because they can. It's a big enough country, and working with China and India and other countries, they're able to be self-reliant themselves. But here we are, the rest of the world is reliant upon Russia. So it's an interesting dynamic being played out. The world needs Russia and Ukraine, but yet Russia doesn't need the world as they're relying upon China. Then we're also seeing, I want to tell this story because I think it's something to prepare us. I don't want you to be fearful. Let's be sober about this, but let's understand what this means moving forward and to be wise in the season ahead with our resources, our time, money, energy, etc. As the world itself, as everything's going on with inflation, world leaders are talking about using debt to help their citizens with the cost at the pump, the cost at the grocery store, the cost for this, that, and the other. And you're seeing the same situation play out in the United States economically, where you have political leaders saying, well, rather than give you a tax break, we're going to give you gas cards, we're going to give you stimulus packages. And what that forces the governments to do is to sell bonds, sell treasuries, and they take loans out to pay those bonds and treasuries when they come due. And why it's more alarming right now, and this article points it out very well, is that as you have inflation and you have increased interest rates, not only in the United States, but around the rest of the world, when those bills, those treasury bonds come due, and even past ones that you have to pay and you don't have the money to pay them out because you're giving them out as stimulus to your citizens or individuals within the country who you give them out to, whether they're legal or illegal, that you have to then take out more loans to pay back those bonds and to put out more bonds. And how you pay them back is by putting out more loans to pay it. It's like, you know, you're swiping the credit card. Okay, boom. Well, I have to have some income source to do that. Well, what they're doing, which if you or I were to do it, it would be considered fraud and illegal, is if I swipe a credit card, but yet I go open up another credit card to pay for that credit card or a loan to pay for that loan, that's what's happening. And when they do that, the interest rates, especially right now, are going to keep going up, and it's going to cost more to open up new loans and to pay back older loans. And that's a situation that's playing out, and that's why inflation is rising and could potentially rise. And for smaller countries who don't have the credit ratings that are needed to do this in the long run, it's going to harm them. And so I say that to be cautious and to be wise in the season ahead with your resources, and not to get a poverty mentality, but to get a checks and balances of what do we really need versus what do we really want. You know, scripture talks about God will provide for all our needs. So time to check ourselves of for the needs versus wants, especially now and in this season as things move forward. And then a couple of things internationally is we saw this weekend where Hungary and even Serbia have elected, they're calling them pro-Putin leaders, but they're really anti-EU leaders. They don't want the EU to be involved with government control and LGBTQ plus movement that is trying to make its way into Eastern societies as they have in Western societies. And this is why people in Russia are so pro-Putin to a degree before the whole war stuff, is because he wasn't standing up for this stuff. He was standing against this stuff. And so are these gentlemen. He won by a landslide. The question, this article talks about, the question isn't that he won. The question is by how much did he win? And same thing in Serbia. It's not about if they won. It's about how much did they win? And yes, this comes with consequences of living in a totalitarian society to another degree, because they're pro-Putin, pro-government-controlled societies to a degree. And that's where the rest of the world is leaning. They so don't want this radical society that they'll vote for people that we may give up over here, but at least we don't get this stuff. So it's very interesting. And then also reports out, and I think this is a good understanding of the reason, more reasons why not to, and pray for our leadership to not get involved in this Iran nuclear deal, even though the talks are showing that they're getting closer and closer, is that if we were to go into this deal with Iran, I've talked about it before, about how they'll remove the Iranian National Guard from the terrorist watch list, which would, this article points out, which would then allow people who are the gentlemen who are on or in the Iranian National Guard to be able to come into America, and there's really nothing we can do about it. So you're opening the door for potential terrorists to be able to come into America and do what? That's the question that's being asked. And why, you know, pushback needs to be pushed back against this. So with all that being said, for this administration, we want to see for them to have the fear of the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia, Ukraine issue, and Israel and China. And with Israel, Iran falls under that. So we want to stay on the wall on those issues. And then this week, there's a couple things that are come up. I've talked about them with the potential ban of oil and other resources from Russia, but it potentially headed to the Senate this week. Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination will be considered for a vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then on to the Senate floor to whether she'll be confirmed or not. Again, it's Collins has confirmed she's going to vote. So if every Democrat votes, that's 51-49. Although Kyrsten Sinema, this article points out at the bottom, Kyrsten Sinema has not declared who she will vote for. She has voted for her in the past in lower courts. She could possibly follow that line. There's also Romney and Lisa Murkowski. Lisa Murkowski has voted for her in lower courts, but is up for re-election. So we'll see what happens there. She actually goes forward. Does Romney go forward with it? It would be better for Democrats if Romney and Murkowski went for it. But for Murkowski, it may be the death of her potential reelection. And then we also have not only her, but we have more information and subpoenas, things coming out on the January 6th committee. The January 6th committee is, I think, useless, and they even know that, which is why they are trying to remove Justice Thomas from any future proceedings on that case as it goes to the Supreme Court, because they themselves know. Because what they're trying to do now is they're trying to provide enough evidence to the DOJ to go after Trump and former officials. And there's rumors this last weekend that Biden supposedly said that and wants that. We'll see what happens. Could most likely be true. The good thing about this is they're wasting time on it. The good and bad is they're wasting time on it, but the good is that if they're wasting time on this, then they're not wasting time on other things. So it's kind of a catch-22 on all this. But again, it is a witch hunt, to say the least. It'll go nowhere. Also, there's talks of passing COVID relief for continued testing and studies. And then there's budget bill that Biden wants passed, another $80 billion on top of the fifth. It's really 10 billion in new funding. There's 5 billion that's sitting there that they just want to reallocate. So there, that will be up. Again, talks on Russian oil trade and oil bans. And then also, which is not talked about in this report, but the last week we pointed it out, the legalization of marijuana was passed in the House. It was pretty much party lines. The Democrats voted yes, Republicans voted no. A few switched over. Very interesting to see that as it goes to the Senate. We'll see what happens. It's very close there as well. And then something to watch out for And with, if you saw this last night or this weekend, the events that happened in Sacramento, now Biden is potentially going to use this as a launching pad to push for gun control. Bob Jones has had the prophetic of when they go for the guns is when there might be a civil war. And obviously there's always the threat of that with certain people in power and in certain positions, something to watch out for. Now, with all this that's going on in the world, with all this that's happening, talked about it before about how we individuals and in the church are going through this season of change and going into this position of coming out of the cold, as Robert Heidler talked about in his sermon yesterday, repenting of our sins and entering into a fresh season and a season of change as the world is changing. And this week, we really want to focus on what we can do from our position of authority within the church is to mainly start praying. We need to pray for future. We talked about it last week of praying for future leaders in the political world. But first thing it starts, we need to pray for new leaders and even the leaders who are in current positions of leadership within the church to rise up who teach the foundations of repentance, because that is the thing that is needed now more than ever as we're entering a world where stimulus handouts and gimme, 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 and grace, 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 and hyper, we're coming out of a season of extreme hyper grace and now people thinking there is no such thing as repentance and hearing it or not hearing it from certain church leaders. Literally reading a passage of scripture and them saying, I've heard this directly. Oh, well, that was for them in the Bible. We don't have to worry about that now. We're in a season where because of a lack of repentance that has been taught in the past season, we're struggling with it now to where rather than dealing with issues such as the LGBTQ ideologies and the struggle behind that, because these people need help. So rather than understanding that and dealing with that, it's, oh, we're just going to wash it over. Oh, let's accept them for who they are. Then you get into the criminalities of predatory aspects of that with Ketanji Brown Jackson. And it starts in the church. It starts in the church. If you save the church, if you save a remnant, then you save Jerusalem. Chuck Pierce teaches. And the Bible scripture tells you that. With Daniel, with Jeremiah, with Nehemiah, going through when Israel was brought out to Babylon and then brought back, it was a remnant, portions of the remnant that were saved, those who love the Lord. Not everyone was perfect, but it's those who submitted themselves before the Lord. They were able to walk through into the next season. And so we want to pray for the office of the president, for ourselves, more importantly. But for future leaders to have this backbone that is going to be needed in the days ahead, to be able to speak truth with love and grace, but not back down from what the Lord would have us speak on, which is spreading the gospel of the kingdom, which is not just only the gospel of salvation with grace, but with the true turning from our sinful ways and back towards the heart of the Father, which is what repentance is. And so I want to close on that. Let's be mindful of the season that we're in, the season of change, and spend that time with the Lord as we're in this season in the wilderness of not direness, of dryness, but a season of, okay, of refreshing, of being in a position to be vulnerable with the Lord, to deal with our past issues, to move forward in the season ahead, to honor the Lord and what he's called us to do, to honor the Lord and what he's called others to do as well, as David did with Saul. And yes, it starts with us. So I close with that. Don't forget, today we'll be on live stream only for our noon prayer, and then Tuesday and Wednesday back at Christian Shreveport. So blessings to a new week, and let's stand on the wall, continuing to pray for the office of the president. Blessings, and I'll see you guys later. Have a good one.